So how do we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts? To sanctify something is to set it apart as holy. Holiness resides in each one of us. It calls us to see holiness in others. It calls us to do the right thing in the name of love, even when the right thing isn't easy. Sometimes the right thing and the hardest thing is to follow the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. We often focus on loving our neighbor, but we must also hear that second part, love ourselves. The Spirit is in us, Jesus says, and to love ourselves is to love God, to love the Jesus in each of us, to love the Spirit that is our companion and our helper. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and of our minds be acceptable in your sight. Lord God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I've been going through my mother's and father's house, sorting and packing and preparing to divest, I came across some items that belonged to my dad's father, my Grandpa Earl. And I meant to bring one of them with me this morning, and I left it home on my desk. But it's a small locket with my grandpa's name on it. It's Earl, etched across the cover of this little gold locket. I imagine that he might have kept it on his watch chain. It contains a picture of my grandmother, Viola, the love of his life. While it might not be in the shape of a heart, many lockets are, but I think that this locket that probably dangled from his watch chain, and he probably saw it every time he took his pocket watch out to look at the time, it enabled Earl to keep Viola close to his heart at all times. As children of a loving God, as followers of Jesus the Christ, what do we keep in our hearts? In the epistle reading for today, Peter suggests that in our hearts we revere Christ as sanctified, a word that means holy or set apart. Peter writes, in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Another way to say that might be, in your hearts, regard Christ as holy. Now, when we think of the heart like my grandfather did, our emotional center, it's where our loved ones are held and kept. We also know it's the center of our physical being, our heart's beat, which pumps blood throughout our bodies to every tissue and organ, circulating fresh oxygen and nutrients, retrieving the carbon dioxide and the waste products that we can then exhale. As spiritual beings, we also talk about our hearts as being the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, which represents to us the love and grace and mercy of God. In your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord would also suggest that we place at the center of our physical, emotional, and spiritual being regard for the holiness of Christ. In the Monday Bible study this past week, we looked at the creation story contained in Genesis, and we discussed the understanding of the imago Dei, that humankind is made in the image and the likeness of God. What exactly does that mean? Do human beings look physically like God? Does God even have a physical body? Is God male or female or both or neither? Does God have a skin tone? Or does being made in the image of God have less to do with our outward appearance, more to do with our hearts? Well, you might guess what we concluded. We think that the imago Dei is about our inner workings, about that sacred center where we revere the holiness of Christ. I believe it is also at that center where the imago Dei resides, where we followers of Christ have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that advocate and counselor Jesus promised. When Jesus uses the word advocate, Luther Seminary professor Karl Kirster says he means it a little differently than what we might think. Kirster says, in modern contexts, someone may serve as an advocate in the court system, or in the healthcare network, or an educational institution, And other advocates might press a legislature to act on behalf of a certain cause. In other words, taking the concerns of the people to the authorities. But the Spirit is the advocate who brings the truth of God's love to the people, which is what makes faith possible. It's sort of a reverse of how we think of advocacy in our time. God's advocate bringing God's word to us. Like Jesus the Spirit being sent from God into the world, different from Jesus, the Spirit does not take on human form, but rather dwells within humankind, imbuing each of us with that image and likeness of God. So if humanity is created in God's own image, and if, as we read in Genesis, God created and created and created and created and then rested, and that Sabbath rest is actually what completes the work of the creation, what does that say to us about the value of Sabbath rest? If we are made in God's image and a component of God's perfect holiness requires Sabbath rest, shouldn't our lives as well? In her book, For Sabbath's Sake, Judith Dana Trent recalls a Passover celebration that she and her husband were invited to, which happened to also fall on a Sabbath night. From the moment they arrived at their friend's home, they felt a welcome and an openness and a joy from everyone at the table. They experienced Jewish tradition and saw their friends savor the telling of the liberation story and God's salvific work. They learned that the story and the meal are meant to unfold slowly because, says Trent, at Passover, time and leisure signify privilege and freedom. At the conclusion of the evening, Trent turned to her husband and asked, "Why aren't we celebrating the gift of Sabbath freedom every week?" And Trent began to wrestle earnestly with this notion of Sabbath. Despite decades of church experience, not since her childhood had she experienced such a holy time to listen and participate in God's work. She met Judith Harrow at the Passover celebration, and Trent and Harrow continued to speak about the experience. Harrow told her Shabbat should be used as a time to turn inward, building a sanctuary in the heart and the mind to see how our lives are immersed in ordinary holiness. It is a gift of slowing down, of giving thanks, of offering praise, of enjoying the blessings of friends and family and community, and the bounty of the lush green earth. Trent's own Sabbath practices grew out of those experiences and those conversations, and so in the book, she talks about Sabbath as rest and as worship and as community. And for her, all three are necessary to honor and connect with the sacred, indwelling Holy Spirit. And Trent views that Sabbath time, that honoring of the sacred and connecting with the divine, as an act of healing and loving herself. In our Monday Bible study and on our Tuesday church chat this past week, we gathered up our own ideas about what makes for Sabbath keeping. First of all, we recognize that not every individual can devote a full 24 hours to Sabbath. And even if we could, perhaps jumping from what we have now into a full 24 might be more than we can wrap our heads around. But it's possible to put a little bit of Sabbath time into every day. And once you've done that, it's possible to let those Sabbath practices grow. We listed those things that we do that feel like Sabbath to us, things that feel like holy practices that give us rest, that offer worship, and that build community. For some of us, sacred, holy, Sabbath rest might involve restful sleep. For others, it might involve a Sabbath break from input, a break from social media, from the news, just from the noisy chatter that distracts us. It might mean quiet time to sit and reflect and appreciate. It might mean letting go of the burdens that weigh you down and accepting the peace and the grace and the mercy God offers you. And there's that argument for daily Sabbath, because aren't peace and grace and mercy from God messages we need to hear every day? Sabbath worship for many of us is communal. That's probably true for all of us who gather together every Sunday. Worship can also come through service, serving God by reading God's word, by reconnecting with God in music and in prayer, and by helping others. It can come through connecting with others by phone these days, or email, or snail mail. And when we're able to, once again, in sharing not only time, but space. Shared meals, shared walks, shared tasks, shared lives. Like keeping the photo of a loved one in a locket that is close to your heart, keeping Sabbath is a means of honoring the holiness of Christ and keeping God in the center of our lives through the workings of the Holy Spirit. In that sacred time and space, may you find wholeness and holiness for yourself. Amen.